Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are here together on day 439 for Acts chapter 3. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us with a love that is faithful and strong, unfailing. Your grace is all sufficient. Your love is perfect, infinite, and holy. Your word is truth. So we pray that in your love, you would write your word on our hearts and speak to us. We need to hear from you, God. Please be our Father, our guide, our teacher. By your Holy Spirit, make clear your word, and may it find good soil in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us!" And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your own wickedness." That is Acts chapter 3, and it's really Peter's second sermon that he gives in the temple this time. The first one was outside the upper room or in the area around the upper room where people had gathered to see the what had happened with the sound that they heard of rushing wind and something looking like fire inside the building. And then they came out and they spoke to this large crowd that had assembled. And now, so that was at the third hour. And the way this narrative reads as we go from Acts 2 to Acts 3 is that it appears to be that same day, the ninth hour. So some 6 hours later, and perhaps a couple of hours were spent baptizing people and teaching them. We don't know. It's possible that this could be the next day. It doesn't really read that way, but of course, you know, the end of Acts 2 gives us this sort of general statement about the church. So this could be the next day, or maybe even a couple of days later. It does appear to still be during the time of Pentecost, because you still have crowds of people in the temple, and when Peter speaks to them, he speaks to them and says, "You're the ones who had Jesus crucified," which seems to be indicate that many of these people would have been the same folks who were in Jerusalem for Passover. There's almost two populations in Jerusalem, the sort of year-round population that was relatively small, and then the swelled population that was there for the three times annual feasts. And it seems to be that it's this second population that Peter is speaking to. So we can't say for sure it's the same day as Pentecost, but it could be. It could be the next day. We're not told exactly for sure, but we do know that it's the ninth hour. And we were told before that it was the third hour when the sermon was given, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. What we do know is they're going up the temple to pray. And there's a man who's been lame from birth. And this is remarkable because this man, we know from the text, he was lame from birth and he was laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms. So this is someone who everybody knew. And he had been there long before Jesus had come along and done any ministry, which is interesting. He seems like he was there during the ministry of Jesus and wasn't healed by Jesus. He's in this temple gate. He's been there daily, and he's been lame from birth. But he's been there for a long time, and everybody knew who he was. This is the point of it. Everybody knew who this man was. He was a very identifiable figure. He asks for alms. And Peter says, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man gets up. Of course, I have this kid song in my head now. He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. I'm not going to sing it for you because I don't want your ears to bleed. But yeah, so he goes into the temple. He's just overjoyed. He's overjoyed, and everybody else is overjoyed too because they knew who he was. And they were filled. They recognized him, we're told there in verse 10. They recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. Now, if you want to get people's attention, this was the kind of thing that would get people's attention. So they all see Peter and John. They see this man who they knew was lame for years and years, and he's clinging to Peter and John, and he's walking and leaping and praising God. He's obviously been miraculously healed. And everybody staring at Peter and John. Peter and John could have, in that moment, been tempted to take the credit for themselves and say, "Oh yes, we are great godly men. We, you know, you should follow us," or whatever. But they don't do that. They immediately deflect attention from themselves. "Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" And then where do they put that attention? On Jesus, of course. It's one thing you get consistently through the book of Acts is that the apostolic ministry was relentlessly Christ-centered. They were not saying, "Yes, we are people of great spiritual influence, so let me tell you how you can be a person of great spiritual influence too. Or if you want to be as free and as joyful as this man, let me tell you about what we can do for you." None of that. There's no salesmanship. There's no self-glorification. There's no spin. It is simply, it wasn't our power. It was Jesus. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. He's the one who did this miracle through us. And then they tell him that even though they were the ones who denied him in the presence of Pilate, who condemned him to murder, who asked for a murderer to be released instead, even though they're the ones who killed the author of life, yet, they have an opportunity, verse 19, to repent and turn back and have their sins blotted out, and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This is the message that Peter gives them. This is the message we have for the world. We have a message that nothing else in the world can touch, nothing else in the world even compares to. We have a message that says God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, the Holy and Righteous One, who was demonstrated to be the Son of God by his miracles, by his teaching, and most especially by his resurrection from the dead. And even though all of us are guilty of having nailed Jesus to the cross by our sin, we weren't in that crowd that day, we didn't cry out, "Crucify him," but we might as well have, because it's our sin that he died for. So even though we are responsible for his death, yet still, we are being extended this opportunity to be cleansed, forgiven, refreshed, reconciled to God, and to join in the kingdom of God, which is spreading throughout the whole earth. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the news that we have to offer the world. We can get distracted by politics and social theories. We can get distracted by trying to persuade people to live a certain way, to have a really good life, to try to pretend like our life is all together and we're such great models of joy and good living. But Peter and John never tried to lift themselves up as models, and they never tried to sell anybody on a program of self-improvement. Rather, they drew all attention to Jesus, and they proclaimed the pure and simple gospel, and they called people to turn from their sin and trust in Jesus for salvation. Is that what we are doing? Is that our witness to the world? I hope it is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the gospel. The world doesn't have a gospel. The world has variations of self-esteem and self-righteousness and political activism or desperation to try to live the American dream and make yourself happy. But the world doesn't have a gospel. It doesn't have good news of salvation from God as a gift. Only you have this gospel, this one true gospel. So we thank you for it. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our righteousness, our peace, our eternal life. Help us to trust in Jesus more and more. Center our lives around Jesus more and more. Lift up Jesus in our own hearts and minds and lives. And lift forth Jesus to the world who needs to know him more and more. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me for Acts chapter 3 today. We are going to be going back to the book of 2 Samuel tomorrow. Hope you can join me for that. As always, of course, I hope you really do have a blessed day in the Lord. Mm-hmm.